Now to our insight segment, a little lighter news. There's been a lot going on in the sports world this week. Number one here in the DMV, the Washington Commanders. Daniel and Tanya Snyder have announced that they may be selling the team in full. They may sell it in part. Kyrie Irving of the Brooklyn Nets, the Nets who are here in town playing the Wizards at this hour. Kyrie Irving has been suspended for 5 games without pay by the Nets for posting what many say were anti-Semitic trope, a film. That promoted that. Kyrie Irving did not want to back down. The team then suspended him, and Kyrie Irving has now apologized for that posting. So that's in the news. And the World Series is going on. Baseball's top game is going on. The Astros are up 3-2. Kirk Cousins is coming back into town to take on the Commanders. So there's a lot going on. So this is a good time to have a sports roundtable. And no one better to join us than Kelsey Nelson. She's a Fox Sports host and of Keep It Simple. So we're going to kind of keep it simple. Kelsey, always good to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. And as you said, lots happening in sports, but Bramante, it keeps me employed.
Yes, both of us. And like I said, you know, the World Series just by itself would normally be what everyone is talking about. Of course, the Commanders, Burgundy and Gold, always a big story here. Phone lines are open, so we want you to be part of this conversation. What do you think about the Commanders possibly being so? Now, again, we don't know for sure, but this is sort of the first breach in where Daniel Snyder said he would never sell the team. So should they sell the team? Who do you want to see the owners coming in? Byron Allen is talking about being an owner. Jeff Bezos of Amazon. Jay-Z hooking up with Jeff Bezos. So it's a lot to talk about. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The phone lines are open. So, Kelsey, let's begin. Your thoughts. You are a native of the area, and you cover all things sports. When you heard the breaking news about the Commanders possibly being up for sale, what'd you think?
Let me tell you, I didn't have to hear the news because my phone started buzzing, Bramante, when this news dropped. When people saw the quote, they're going to explore, and this is both Daniel Snyder and his wife, Tanya Snyder, right, who is the co-CEO, potential transactions. Social media went crazy. And of course, I'm talking especially about social media here in the DMV area. Why? Because as you said, this was an owner that said he would once never sell the team. He's also the same owner that once said he would never change the name.
Yes.
Now, the name, of course, has now changed, which is why we call them the Washington Commanders. And now, as you said, there's a... but I know, and that... Look,
I don't like
many
it.
Have feelings
anyway,
about that.
I'm interrupting you. I'm sorry.
Look, we'll let the listeners call in and dish about
the
name.
I've got a thing about that.
But, you know, Daniel Snyder has been a controversial figure here in the DMV area for many reasons. Now, he bought the team back in 1999. And since social media has been around, the hashtag Fire Dan Snyder has also been around. Now, you don't see that about all owners. For example, next door in Baltimore, Steve Biscotti, have not seen that about him, right? And again, going back to Daniel Snyder. So me, like many people, I just thought, wow. And I thought it was interesting timing for the news to break. Why? Because this week one, we learned that head coach Ron Rivera lost his mother. Obviously, very sad news. So the team dealing with that adversity too, because this is the same week we're getting an update that a 17-year-old teen was charged, right, in the shooting of Brian Robinson right here in D.C. on H Street. So, you know, you're thinking about all that happening. And then you're also trying to put in perspective the Washington Commanders playing winning football right now, right? With Taylor Heineke coming back.
I didn't even push
to the helm.
That angle,
yeah,
I?
Look at that. So winning football, but then all this adversity that the team continues to face. So I was kind of like, wow, but I knew there had to be something more. And then later, what did we learn, Bramante? That there's an investigation, yet another investigation, because remember, this team has multiple investigations going on, one by the NFL. We have the House Oversight Committee, And now we have locally attorney generals looking into
Virginia,
this team.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think what first went to my mind is that, you know, this is why it's been hard for fans to support this team. This is why, unfortunately, you don't see FedEx Field full of home fans at games. And it's been honestly embarrassing. This is why ticket sales for Commander games, especially during the preseason, you could go pretty cheap.
Oh, yeah.
So I felt like, you know, a lot of people were honestly excited. And I felt like I heard a like I felt like people just felt, you know, commotion. I got personal DMs saying, if this happens, D.C. needs to throw a parade. Like, that's how fans are feeling in D.C. So I think it was a lot of mixed emotion. But, you know, I was not surprised. Let's remember, this is also the same year the Washington Commanders just played the Indianapolis Colts. And one of the biggest storylines was the owner's boxes, Bermonte.
That's
why?
Because
Colts owner Jim Irsay had called out Daniel Snyder, maybe saying there's merit to remove him. And he was the first NFL owner that we heard say that. So I just thought a lot of things that have been going on, finally, we're hearing some type of answer and that there might be some movement. But I would just say, hold on, fans, again. This just happened.
Say, what's your sense? Because, you know, Snyder can pull the okey-doke because he says, you know, we've hired Bank of America to look at possible transactions.
Right.
You know, that could be anything. Now, I know Adam Schefter and ESPN says, look, once you open this door, and he's plugged in, once you open that door, he's got to be walking in to sell. I hadn't seen in any media coverage anyone saying, I think he's been unfairly treated. They've won three games in a row. We shouldn't rock the boat, you know, because look, let's look at New York, right?
Right.
For years, you know, if the Yankees didn't win a World Series, they're like, get Steinbrenner out of there, right? Steinbrenner held on to it. He passed away. Now his son is running the team, so they've survived it. Sometimes I think about that New York. I think the difference is they've won World Series subsequently,
right,
even with Steinbrenner's craziness, and they can't win here. When we're talking about ownership, I think this is the other big issue. Say ownership changes. You've got Byron Allen,
yes,
African-American. I'm old enough to remember him as a comedian. Now he's a media mogul. He's brought into the whole ownership sphere by the NFL commissioner, by Robert Kraft of the Patriots. What's your sense of Byron Allen's chances? Let's say that Snyder is going to sell a team. We're going to go there, right? Allen's chances of maybe grabbing the team because he says he's interested. So is Jeff Bezos, who's got billions.
Right. I'm glad you said that. And so Byron Allen has been very interesting. So we heard his name first, actually, when the Denver Broncos went up for sale earlier this year. And, of course, the Broncos have now since been sold for $4.65 billion. And I want people to keep that number in their head because right now the estimated value of the Washington Commanders, if they were to sell today, is $5.6 billion. So think about billionaires, all right? And when you write that check, you need to be ready to at least pay 30% if you're going to be in the majority ownership group. So Byron Allen is a media mogul, and he's gaining money. Now, he was not a finalist for the Denver Broncos, all right? And let's remember, the Broncos were bought by who? Rob Walton, who was the son of the late Sam Walton. And if you know the name Walton, i.e., many of you, some of you guys might be there right now listening to the show.
I might be thinking the TV show.
But it's great examples. And the Walton family, you know, at last check, according to Forbes in 2020, had an estimated value, and I'm talking about the family, of $60 billion. And Rob, of course, is the oldest son of the late co-founder of Walmart. All right, so obviously lots of money. He bought it with his daughter and son-in-law, and then they did something really interesting. They made a diverse ownership group, right? So the minority owners, Condoleezza Rice, right, former Secretary of State, Melody Hodson, somebody, a businesswoman who's very successful, and Lewis Hamilton, Formula One. So right now they have the most diverse ownership.
And that's an underreported story.
It is, really.
Because you don't really hear that. You just hear there needs to be an owner.
Exactly.
Right? And most folks know many of these, and we say minority, and we don't mean by race. minority owners get in just to sort of get in the mix, so then they're ready for if that owner sells the team or if they want to move on to another team.
Exactly. And relaying it back to Byron Allen, and I had to correct some people on this. They were like, hey, if he gets it, he'd be the first black owner. No, 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 folks. We have minority black owners right now in the National Football League. So he would be the first majority black owner. And I do think that means a lot. One, because why? This is a storied franchise with lots of history. Two, this team plays in the nation's capital. And just three, when you think of the culture of D.C. and all of the black fans of this Washington Commanders team, how amazing would it be to see him in ownership? Now, I'm not quickly hopping ship again because this team is going to be so expensive to buy. Mm-hmm. Now, we're hearing that he's working with an investor group, right, which would be great. You want some backing. But Jeff Bezos immediately came to mind for many people. Why? Because look at what Amazon has done in Crystal City. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, did you all out there watch last night's game on Amazon Prime, right? Thursday
yes,
night
I
football.
Did.
Where we saw the Eagles stay undefeated. So obviously Jeff Bezos, I mean, his money is immaculate. I mean, we're also seeing what his ex-wife is doing with her money, mm-hmm. right? Giving it to charity and donations. And then we're hearing about him bringing in Jay-Z. Jay-Z, you know, former minority owner, right, of the Brooklyn Nets.
Right?
We'll obviously Rock Nation Sports. So he's involved in sports. And oh yeah, did you guys like last year's halftime show or the one coming up with Rihanna? He's also involved in that, has also been involved in the NFL with some of their things to basically make the community better, right? He's been involved with working with the NFL to do more with the black community. And we know why, because obviously we saw a huge problem with the NFL, especially during the Black Lives Matter movement. So Jay-Z has been very involved with the NFL. Now, Jeff Bezos, people have questions. You know, would it be fair to have him own a team here in Washington with their relationship the NFL already has with Amazon Prime? But Byron Allen, again, he's one to keep an eye on. But again, just the final dollar amount of this team, when you look at the most valuable sports franchises in the National Football League, it starts with Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, so no surprise, and what Jerry Jones has built. Number two used to be Washington, but it's actually the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. And now number three is the Washington Commanders. So again, think about the billionaires. That's a small percentage, folks. And there's a reason why NFL ownership, you know, is very elite of elite. So I think we're hoping for Byron Allen. But again, he's going to have some stiff competition because this is a team I think a lot of people are going to be interested in, especially because right now Washington's starting to change things around. We're hoping that they can change the culture. But I think people know there is promise with this team. And again, it's a very valuable team. And again, we haven't seen this number in the NFL. The last team to sell before we're talking about the Broncos, Carolina Panthers,
like
after their owner,
about
2.3 billion.
Right.
And that was after their owner had some controversy.
Right.
So it's very interesting.
And again, they didn't push him out. He decides to leave on his own. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Kelsey Nelson. Oh, she's laying it down. She's got all the information. She's got all the numbers. I never even saw her look down. So I'm going to give you credit there, Kelsey. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. What are your thoughts of what's going on in the sports world? We're going to pivot over to talking about Kyrie Irving also. What are your thoughts about him being suspended and just Kyrie moving from team to team to team? And there always seems to be a problem. Kelsey, I'm going to start off on that. I know we're probably going to, the music's going to play any minute and we're going to jump over, but your thoughts on this situation with Kyrie Irving. He has apologized via his Instagram, but he also has been suspended without pay. And the Nets have said, look, he's not getting back on the court until, you know, we can figure out if he can work within this environment. That does not sound good.
Yeah, it's not looking good for Kyrie. And as you said, tonight we should be talking basketball, Bermonte, right? The Brooklyn Nets are here in Washington, D.C.
Kyrie Irving back. I'm not Kyrie. Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant back home. We usually do homecoming stories. I'm usually getting called on to talk about that. But instead, for the past week, we've been talking about Kyrie Irving and his anti-Semitic comments. And that means folks aren't even caring right now about the game going on. Why? Because Kyrie's not playing. It's the first game that he won't play in, of course, according to his suspension, which is a minimum of 5 games. And then you have an injured Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. So right now we're looking at the Brooklyn Nets saying what's going on. We're hearing about the dysfunction, saying, you know, the Brooklyn Nets owner, Josiah, is texting Kyrie. Hasn't got that text back yet. And mm-hmm. so we're just hearing continued dysfunction. And remember, this carried on from last season when we didn't get a full Kyrie Irving mm-hmm. being able to play because of his stance on the COVID-19 vaccination, right? And not being able to play home games. So basically, I think people are saying, all right, here we go with Kyrie again, once again being in the middle of something, but this time obviously much more serious mm-hmm. because he offended an entire community. And if you see social media today, it's, again, the top story that everyone's talking about. And I think people just want Kyrie to focus on basketball, but also to take, you know.
And the great player that he is. Yeah. And we're going to dive more into this, Kelsey. But like I said, the music's playing, so we got to take a quick break. We're going to take a time out. But don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. Phone lines are still open, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. What's on your mind as we're moving into this big sports weekend? World Series could be wrapping up. Big games on the college football gridiron. We haven't really gotten into that. And we're going to get more into this Kyrie Irving situation. Sports moving into, obviously, more dicey issues. All right. SiriusXM Channel 141, 202-319-7810. The original Quiet Storm with John Mons is next on WHUR. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight it's our sports roundtable, and our special guest is Kelsey Nelson, Fox Sports host of Keep It Simple. We're talking about all things sports tonight. The Commanders have dominated the news in the DMV, and I don't just mean the sports news. They've been at the top of the newscast, the top story for the last couple of days. Kyrie Irving, his Nets are in town. I'm going to assume he's not with them. He's been suspended for 5 days. Many of you may know he posted on his social media site a film that has some anti-Semitic tropes in it. Kyrie Irving did not want to back down, and finally he's apologized. This comes after he's been suspended by the team. You got the World Series going on. You got Kirk Cousins coming back into town. Big college football games going on. So it's the sports roundtable. Let's talk a little bit more, Kelsey, about again, phone lines are open. Let me make sure I give that out. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. What's on your mind? Kelsey, Kyrie Irving, there are many people who have said, Stephen A. Smith has said this and others, that Kyrie Irving is one of the greatest basketball players in the world, right? I saw one formidable host on Fox Sports, I think Colin Cowherd, who said, they need to just let him go. He says, I've been saying this forever. It's not worth having that talent on your team, but yet he carries that much baggage. And Cowherd said there may not be that many teams that actually would want to take on Kyrie Irving. What's your sense of basketball skills versus off-the-court issues? Where does the value balance out?
You know, that's a very great question. And remember, you know, when athletes started speaking up and speaking out, that's when that hashtag more than an athlete started trending. And the first time we really saw more recent athletes speak out was, again, during the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about after the killing of George Floyd. And, you know, I think Kyrie Irving has one that's been interesting for folks for a couple of reasons. You know, for one, he's been in the news for bad reasons even prior to this. You know, people, his thoughts on the world being flat and not round. After he won his first NBA title, there was questions about if he, and I'll just be honest, if he liked black women after he was seen on a yacht completely full of white women. Mm-hmm. And this was after he won his first title. So, you know, you have that. And then the comments, of course, in this past week. And then, of course, also his stance on COVID-19 mm-hmm. and the vaccination mm-hmm. that was needed for NBA players to play. Now, on the other side of things, Kyrie Irving is also a guy that has done good buying George Floyd's family a house mm-hmm. after what happened. He's also somebody that has donated to Native American tribes, someone that has assisted WNBA players with their salaries during the season which COVID-19 happened. So he's also done a lot of good. And I've seen people bring that up as well. But I think people are doing that balancing scale right now, Bermonte, and I think that's what you're referring to. Mm-hmm. Is he worth some of the negative backlash? And he's a guy.
And he's making, what, $50 million a year?
Oh, he just signed $36.5 million right. option. Mm-hmm. He's an unrestricted free agent next season, mm-hmm. which makes this very interesting.
Yes.
Now, remember, when we were trying to fix the Lakers, Bermonte, when we were trying to figure out what to do with them, Kyrie was a name that had
that's
come
right.
up. Because remember, at one point, we didn't know if Brooklyn would have KD or Kyrie back when mm-hmm. we were trying to follow all this news. Now, of course, he's since returned to the Nets. The Nets were supposed to have unfinished business after mm-hmm. getting swept yep. last year, mm-hmm. right, in mm-hmm. the NBA playoffs. But all of a sudden, here we are, and we have a struggling Nets team that's right. since come to town, which right now, you know, usually when this game happens with the Nets and the Wizards, usually the Nets are the better team.
Yes.
But right now, in terms of at least wins,
yep.
the Wizards right mm-hmm. now, and actually the Wizards and the Commanders right now have the same record, 4-4, right now the Wizards are the better team, but at mm-hmm. least in Washington with the Wizards, we're talking about basketball.
Correct.
Where Kyrie, people are feeling like, you know, is he going to own up to his actions? Many feeling like his, you know, apology was insincere. And I think that's what Colin Cowherd and others are saying. You know, is he worth all the added media attention? Right now, the Nets are getting full media days. Right now, they have tried to hold him back, and they have held him back from mm-hmm. talking to media.
And they've been criticized for that.
And they right? have been criticized mm-hmm. for that. But why? Because they don't know what's going to come out of Kyrie Irving's mouth.
So back to our question.
Yeah.
If we can't put him out there after a game.
Right. What are you doing?
And let's be clear, too, with this issue and the anti-Semitism, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong.
Right.
But context also matters. You know, this is happening in New York City. There's
exactly.
a large Jewish population.
Yes.
There,
and okay? look, think about New York, one of the most diverse, if not the most right, right diversity in the entire country.
Mm-hmm. So that has to be looked at also, I would think.
Right.
What's your sense of the Nets' handling of this situation?
Yeah. Now, this has been interesting. Now, the Nets, of course, have also been in the news because, oh, by the way, they also got rid of their head coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
Steve Nash. We're not even really talking about that, that though, right now, Bermonte, because
we
we're focused on Kyrie Irving, right?
Right.
So that happened. And then, you know, you look at ownership. You look at Josiah, who had to put a tweet out basically condemning Kyrie. And we hadn't really seen an owner, you know, do this to, again, his own player, a player that he wanted mm-hmm. back. GM Sean Marks also having to condemn mm-hmm. what Kyrie Irving said. And basically, both of them, higher-ups in the Nets organization, they wanted Kyrie Irving to apologize, right?
Right?
And so we saw the last press conference he did. Many people took issue with the last press conference because they actually wanted to hear the words, "I'm sorry."
Mm-hmm.
Now, those words did come. If you were up at midnight last night and you happen to have an Instagram account and you happen to follow Kyrie Irving, you finally saw those words.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many feeling like it's insincere and that ownership should have had done something sooner because they felt like, hey, this has been going on a week and you all haven't acted. And this is how some people feel. But also say on the other side, some people are criticizing the Nets ownership. If
mm-hmm.
you go on social media right now, there's a hashtag I stand with Kyrie. It has a lot of tweets and a lot of social media and a lot of people criticizing the Brooklyn Nets organization. So mm-hmm. I think there's two sides right now out there in the world. Now,
mm-hmm.
I'm like you. I think right is right and wrong is wrong. And to me, if someone says something is offensive, it's the same way I felt about the Washington name here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell them it's not offensive, right? And multiple people have said this. And many people have said, Kyrie, we've given you a chance to come learn. And right now with the suspension, something else, you know, the Nets are looking into is counseling for mm-hmm. Kyrie Irving. And also just him educating himself on the matter.
But do you think he would really go, Kelsey?
That's the question. Kyrie is 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm 30 years
mm-hmm.
old. I'll put that into perspective. And would he go? I don't know. Because I feel like, you know, Kyrie, you know, a lot of people felt like he was pushed to it. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's really just been talking to his agent,
mm-hmm.
you know, and is this sincere? But, you know, I think they're wanting him to learn. But, you know, will he learn?
Mm-hmm.
We know the Anti-Defamation League. They've been the main kind of source.
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't know them, this is, of course, that basically they fight anti-Jewish hate,
mm-hmm.
right? And anti-Semitic comments. And basically they're an anti-hate organization.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was with Kyrie, you know, the Nets thought, I think, quickly, well, let's donate money to
right.
them, $500,000. Kyrie Irving had matched that.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually rescinded it saying, you know what? We don't want that $500,000 from Kyrie because he hasn't talked to us. Mm-hmm. We don't feel like he's learned because mm-hmm. we've seen the press conference. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want the money from him because he's not doing what needs to be done. Mm. So Kyrie Irving, I think, finds himself in a really interesting place because, again, he put it out there, but a lot of people say, this isn't it, Kyrie. You still missed the boat because you haven't said it verbally to folks.
And this, I want to hear from Monica McNutt. She was on ESPN Today, and she was talking about Kyrie Irving. And there's a soundbite we have where it's like more from Monica McNutt. And she talked about sort of Kyrie sort of being late to the party. It's more McNutt. Let's hear that.
But I'm not necessarily expecting other NBA players to come down with a hammer in regards to this situation. I think they know and understand the power of their platform and all that the NBA represents as a league. And this was just unacceptable on so many levels.
So in this one, she's talking about, you know, what she might expect from NBA players, because we haven't heard a whole lot from them. I don't suspect to hear a lot from them. And here's what I think is interesting about this, Kelsey. I would contend that even if it was Kyrie Irving and he said something or posted something that was anti-black, even as a black man, I think that there would be some African-American players who would come out and have something to say. Now, I'm putting this on African-American players because the NBA is 90-something percent black.
Exactly.
Right? So I find it interesting that they kind of don't really want to go there with Kyrie. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are, because, you know, players are going to sort of protect other players.
Right.
But I do think if it was a black issue, I think you would see more players speaking out. What do you think?
You know, I think that's an interesting perspective. And so what Monica references is right. We've heard many NBA players silent. Now, I will say today, you know, we heard multiple things. So one, going to the NBA player point, Nick Young actually tweeted, "The media is killing the NBA."
Now I'm putting this on the media. Oh.
He put it on Twitter.
Oh.
You know,
and
Twitter's
the
whole, it's the media, because when you put it out there on Twitter, and that's mm-hmm. the whole thing going back to Kyrie Irving. You know, he mm-hmm. said, I just retweeted it.
Right.
He said, I didn't say these things.
Mm-hmm.
But many people, even when you join a job, you know, your social media could be, it's considered a reflection of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen people, not even just in sports, but get in trouble for liking certain things on social media, for retweeting certain things on social media. And here we are again. So Nick Young, of course, Nick Young, folks should remember him here in the DMV area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty 99.9% sure, Bramante, that was in reference to what is happening.
And some would say Nick Young is kind of a knucklehead.
Right.
Some would say that, right? I know that's the easy passive aggressive to go, some would say.
Yes.
But, you know, that is kind of a narrative of
right.
Nick Young.
Right.
And it's easy to come out and say, let's blame the media, right? Now, let's stay with Kyrie Irving and the Nets for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Again, phone lines are open, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. If you have some thoughts on Kyrie Irving, the Commanders, or anything sports that's going on, let us know. 202-319-7810. You mentioned that the Nets fired their head coach, Steve Nash.
Yes.
I don't know if it's official that they're going to bring in a black head coach, which is nothing new anymore in
right.
the NBA. But who they are allegedly bringing in. Talk a little bit about that,
yeah.
the former Celtics head coach.
Yes, I would love to get into that. Ime Udoka just adds another interesting piece on this Nets saga, right? And really quickly, going back to your last question, I also mm-hmm. did want to point out that Inez Kanter, whose mm-hmm. name is now Inez Kanter Freedom,
mm-hmm.
And folks probably of basketball fans know exactly who I'm talking about, but he actually slammed the NBA, all right, and Adam Silver, who of course is commissioner, mm-hmm. saying that he had double standards after suspending Kyrie Irving following the tweet, basically because he's called out the NBA and Josai and China and that
mm-hmm.
relationship, which
mm-hmm.
is also unique, you
mm-hmm.
know, and people have Josai, if you know Alibaba. So I know everybody knows Amazon,
mm-hmm.
but Alibaba also a very popular commerce site that
mm-hmm.
he is the head of. And of course, China has questionable practices, I'll
mm-hmm.
say, and Josai is very tied.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's tied to that. So
mm-hmm.
he's saying, how can you do that to Kyrie when you haven't done anything to the owner? Washington Examiner today actually had
mm-hmm.
an article come out, a column come out, say Kyrie apologized. Now, what about Josai? So I think it's very interesting. And your point, too, about the NBA players, you know, Reggie Miller has called NBA players out for not saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
But some people have also said the NBA player is silent. staying silent says their stance on this, too.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And then one more thing I'll add, you know, Kevin Durant got asked about it. And at first, you know, he said some comments and then he had to go back and say, you know what, you know, I'm sorry that it got taken out of context. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just want us to be united and play basketball.
Right.
Basketball
yeah.
brings us all together. And I gave that example, Bramante, because I think NBA players are scared because I don't know if they fully know what to say. Mm-hmm. And I said to say the NBA is a brotherhood. KD tried to address it, you know, saying, you know, he just thought it was, you know, a matter that shouldn't even be here. Mm-hmm. You know, why are we worried about this? But then people were saying, like, well, do you care? Like,
right. Do you understand?
So right. then he had to backtrack. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure NBA players are looking at that saying, and I'm sure their agents and PR, and let's remember, a lot of them work with agents and PR, are probably saying, don't touch it. Now, am I saying that's the right thing to do? I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying they're probably not knowing what to do. So to your point, I do think if it were a black issue, yes, these guys would probably be talking out about it. Because, again, these men have been black men in America since day one. Mm-hmm. All right? And so, like me, I've been a black woman in America since day one. I can talk on that experience. They can talk on that experience. But, you know, I think it's us learning together. And, you know, it's actually interesting because the Anti-Defamation League, when you go to their website, one of the events they have coming up is fighting anti-Semitism and fighting anti-racism and anti-blackness. Mm-hmm. And so they're trying to, I think, bring those issues together. Michael Eric Dyson is one of the speakers.
And, you know, people have to remember, too, that, you know, especially when you go back to the civil rights movement, that was a big coalition, Jewish-black coalition, that started to break as you move into the late 70s and early 80s. But if historically, that has always been a coalition. And so it's an opportunity, too, I think, to have a conversation outside of sports. And we know how sports and social activism are always intersecting. And we see it now. And I think an argument could be for players like Kevin Durant, you know, a lot of times you have some folks on one side, say on Fox News, Laura Ingraham, you know, I mean, we know it's out there. She told LeBron, you know, shut up.
Yep. And dribble.
And dribble.
Right.
And in some ways, Kevin Durant is kind of saying, let's all just shut up and dribble and have fun.
Right.
So you're really playing into that.
Exactly.
You know, and so you've got to take a position or educate yourself. And I think that's what Monica McNutt was saying earlier on, too, about that issue. But in terms of their probable new coach.
Yes, and so,
And I think what's interesting there, 202-319-7810, phone lines are open. You know, Kelsey and I are dominating this conversation.
Come join us.
Feel free to jump in. If he becomes the new head coach, he's bringing a little of his own baggage, which I think is surprising. I know he used to be an assistant coach there. But the Nets, again, here's that balance thing. They must feel the upside of bringing him in because it seems maybe that it was a mutual relationship, but then maybe it kind of turned sour. But that's going to bubble up if he comes in as their head coach. That's not going to go away with everything else that's circling.
Yeah. So Ime Udoka, obviously, someone that did the improbable last year with the Boston Celtics. And the Boston Celtics, falling just short of winning an NBA championship, he brought them back to an NBA championship, something they hadn't done in over a decade, Bramante, and did it as a black coach. And to your earlier point right now, with the new interim Nets head coach right now, the NBA actually for the first time has majority black head coaches, which is also something to be talked about. And again, I think this is why the NBA news is so important to talk about, because the NBA has long been a league that's really been, celebrated because of their stance, and because of their kind of going forward for societal issues. Now, Ime Udoka, of course, I think we have to remember, what do sports teams want? To win. Let's remember that. I mean, even here in Washington, what do fans want? To win. That's another reason why folks don't like Daniel Snyder.
Because they haven't won.
And
their Steinbrenner connection. You know, they may not have liked Steinbrenner, but you can stomach him because they're winning World Series.
And let's be honest. If Washington had been winning, I don't know if everybody would have the comments, right, on Daniel Snyder, right, if we kept adding Super Bowl rings here. So all that to say, Ime Udoka, obviously, again, he's a man that played in the NBA and did very good with the Boston Celtics organization. Now, the Nets know they're 2-6 right now. They should not be there when you look at the talent on their roster, but they want to win. And I think they're looking at winning as the dominating thing. And I don't know, maybe they're thinking, you know what? We have so much going on with controversy. Could it get any worse? But I will tell you out there, there's many folks saying, okay, Ime Udoka got in trouble for having an improper relationship, right, with a subordinate, somebody who was on the Celtics staff. And then we also heard, and I think folks forget this, we're hearing from that person, you know, through spokespeople, that there was unwanted comments made from Ime Udoka. And I think a lot of people forget that point. They're saying, you know, it was a consensual relationship and it came out. No, it was reported that there were unwanted comments. And anytime you put the word unwanted into something, it changes the dynamic of that relationship.
Yes.
And so he's supposed to have been suspended for the year, right, by the Boston Celtics organization. And I think many people are saying, hey, wait, the NBA season just started. It's early on, and now he already might have mm-hmm. another job.
And wouldn't and the, a good Celtics, job, the Celtics could have held on to him and just let it kind of die down?
Right. So that's what people find very interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, so has he learned a lesson? Has he really been reprimanded mm-hmm. for his actions if he gets this new Nets job? And then others are saying, you know, again, there's some people that feel like, hey, you know, people deserve second chances, mm-hmm. and could this be his second chance? And, you know, he'd be joining a really good team, again, on paper. I know not everything has worked out for the Nets.
Right.
On the basketball court, but you know, they are looking for somebody that can lead stars. You have Kyrie Irving, you have Kevin Durant, and those are superstars, right? And we've heard, you know, there was mixed emotions this summer about, you know, them possibly not wanting Steve Nash to be there, that he
right.
wasn't the right guy for the job.
Right.
And now all of a sudden,
they said we don't even need a coach.
Look at
you
that.
Know, when they were hiring.
Look
him.
At that.
So it didn't start off on the right foot.
It didn't.
Right?
And mm-hmm. Ime Udoka is a man that's been known to get the respect of NBA players.
Right.
And also, I mean, if you just look at even from his size, he's a big guy.
Yes,
especially. So many people are like, you know what? Not many NBA players are going to challenge
right.
Ime Udoka,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think there's that. But do you want a coach, again, that's in the, you know, coming off of allegations
mm-hmm.
to bring that to your team when you also already have a whole community hurt
mm-hmm.
by Kyrie Irving's comments, people feeling like you have a player that's not educated on issues and doesn't care to educate himself
right.
on historical issues and matters. So do you want to add basically more fire into the mix? And I think that's the question. So I think it's going to be interesting if they hire him. But honestly, I've worked in sports for a long time, and folks remember sports is a business, and it's a business that's meant to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the Brooklyn Nets are having trouble with ticket sales. They raised and increased prices.
I think they have the lowest fan base in the NBA, right?
And they're in Brooklyn and New York. You're
yeah.
supposed to be bringing money in.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we talked about our guy here from PG County, Prince George's County, Kevin Durant on that team, mm-hmm. who should sell tickets,
yep.
right? One of
best
NBA players.
Some would say the best,
in the
right?
game.
Mm-hmm.
And then we talked about Kyrie Irving's skills. Folks, Kyrie Irving is averaging over 30 points a game
And you can get fans
and
in
you
the
can,
building.
And have you been to their arena? It's nice,
yes.
too.
I mean,
all right?
Atlantic Avenue, the traffic there is terrible.
Now, the traffic
right?
isn't the
and
best,
the streets
right?
are terrible.
But you can catch the train
right,
right there,
mm-hmm.
go into the arena. So they're having issues and problems. Again, sports is a business meant to make bring in more money. Their owner is a businessman. So
mm-hmm.
again, he's going to look at winning. When you're winning, some people would say winning solves all. Because when a team is winning, what's happening? Ticket sales go up.
Mm-hmm.
People want to sit in those seats.
That's
they want
right.
to be there for the games. When you have more people in the seats, you make more off concessions.
Mm-hmm.
You're selling more merchandise. Kind of everything is good from a business
right.
aspect of basketball. So I put all that to say, you know, Kyrie Irving, you know, him already being problematic, and the Nets have said they don't want to drop him from the team. So meaning that this suspension, we know it's a minimum of 5 games, but basically to me that means he will play this season,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they said they don't want to drop him from the team. But then you bring in somebody like Ime Udoka, you know, are you going to be ready? If you already are having a hard time handling Kyrie Irving's press conferences, imagine coaches conference, because
right.
you know the media is
mm-hmm.
going to bring it up. They're not going to separate basketball from his past, because they're going to say his past matters
mm-hmm.
in basketball. And some people feeling like, you know, what culture does that set for your team
right.
or your organization? And especially many, I've had women reach out to me, Bramante, and say, you know, what does this send to the woman working for the Brooklyn mm-hmm. Nets organization if you bring someone like Ime Udoka in?
And then the next question, I think, Kelsey, which often comes up too, is some would say, okay, so when has he served his penance? When do we give him space to come back? You know, my counter might be is when he is proactive in addressing the issues and what he's learned and how he will conduct himself in the future. I would think that would maybe make his entrance back into the league a little smoother. What say you?
Yeah, I think that would definitely help. Now, again, let's remember, there are going to be some people that will probably never forgive him. Like,
mm-hmm.
let's just be honest. There's going to be folks that will always be out there, especially a lot of the brothers out there that love them some Nia Long. They feel like he forever hurt Nia Long. But saying all that to say, you know, Ime Udoka, I do think, you know, kind of like Kyrie Irving, the first step is kind of to that admittance, you know, that you did something wrong. And I think it has to seem sincere. I think that would be the first step for Ime Udoka. And then secondly, you know, just to show the steps that he's done to work on himself personally. Now, many of us can't speak to that because we don't know,
mm-hmm.
right, what he's been doing to work on himself. He's obviously kind of been out the fold until recently when his name came up, right, for
right.
this head coaching job. So I do think, you know, he can, and, you know, people have tweeted at me, Kelsey, what about Marv Albert and, you know, other people?
Mm-hmm.
And let's just be honest. None of us are perfect. We live in an imperfect world. But that does not mean, to me, in my opinion, that you should not be judged for your actions, right, or not have to have consequences for your action, i.e. that's why we have laws, rules, and regulations, right? I mean, we can't just run around doing crazy things and say, oops, I'm sorry, and we're just
stoplight? What is that?
Right? I mean, it's already crazy driving here in D.C. with stoplights, right? So, you know, take those away. But all that to say, I think, you know, there's always going to be two sides of it. But I think, you know, I do think, for me personally, I do think Ime can do certain things to try to get back in good graces. Do I think he should never coach in the NBA? No. Mm-hmm. I would not say that. I do think if he makes the proper steps, he does deserve another chance. But I do, again, think we have to see something from him in order to do that. And, you know, some people are saying at least let him serve out the year suspension and then maybe potentially consider bringing him back. Mm-hmm. But, again, basketball is about winning right now. The Nets won a championship right now. Josiah wants a champion. You know, he wants to bring that championship to Boston and its fans right now. And it's a what-have-you-done-lately type of world and type of league. And so lately, he's helped the Celtics win, and that's what they're looking at. So I think that's what it's going to come down to. But I think he will have to prepare for hecklers at games. Kyrie just had hecklers at the game that they last played against the Indiana Pacers. Ime Udoka is going to have to handle that. The team's going to have to be prepared to handle that. And they're going to have to be prepared to answer tough media questions. So I think if they can answer yes and feel like that they can handle it, then maybe they will move on. But again, it was very interesting. But right now, people feel like he is the best head coaching candidate out there to actually bring wins to Brooklyn.
All right. In our last few moments, we're going to circle back to the burgundy and gold, and I will call them the Commanders because that's what they are right now.
Welcome to the new era, Bramante.
I know.
It's the Commanders
I'm
era.
Stuck. You know, I'm not saying I'm, you know, we have to hang on to the old name, but I'd like the Red Wolves, okay? Keep my R in my hat and all my
and
stuff.
And many did like that name.
I like that.
They want to howl at games, Bramante.
You know, Fred Smoot was on it. I love that. You know, we're going to howl as a Commander. But anyway, that would take up a whole show. Like I said, you got me on my little soapbox. But they are 4-4, all right? And you have Captain Kirk is coming back to FedEx Field with the Vikings. What's your sense of the Commanders? We've got a little Mr. Man, Taylor Heinicke.
Yes.
And somehow he's winning the game. You know, he's throwing these lollipop passes up in the air. I feel like they're kind of getting lucky, but he finds a way to win. And like I said, if I date myself, I mean, I'm old enough to remember Billy Kilmer, and he had the same story, you know. He had Sonny Jurgensen behind him. He was the smooth operator, but Billy Kilmer kept winning. They couldn't get him off the field. So Heinicke has the team at 4-4.
Right.
Is there hope, Kelsey, or should we be like, this is a kind of a smoke and mirrors kind of thing?
Let me tell you, fans in Washington feel excited again. Mm-hmm. All right. And this win streak, it started with that primetime game against the Chicago Bears. And yes, I know that wasn't the most exciting game to watch. Carson Wentz had under 100 yards, but they won. 99, just under 100, 99 yards, but they won. Right. And he, of course, he injured his finger. Mm-hmm. But then you come home and you beat the Green Bay Packers. Now, I know the Green Bay Packers are not the same team that they used
Aaron Rodgers,
to be, but it's still Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
And you do it with Taylor Heinicke. Once again, a guy that was a backup, right? And he got called up to step up. And once again, he comes and delivers. And to your point, he might not have the strongest arm, but he will use those legs, and he plays with a lot of heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, fast forward, you're on the road against the Indianapolis Colts. And mind you, you're playing a backup quarterback after they decided to bench Matt Ryan. But you get a big come-from-behind win on the road.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So now all of a sudden, you're back into the fold. You're back to being considered a wild card in the postseason, because we know how well the NFC East is playing right now.
Right,
the Eagles are dominating, Cowboys right behind them. And oh, my gosh, Daniel Jones and the Giants are doing something this year. So I think now when Kirk Cousins comes to town, you feel a confidence. Like, we got Taylor Heinicke. Oh, by the way, Terry McLaurin is back in the fold. You know, the wide receiver, the deep threat that he is. He's coming off a great homecoming game, feeling great. The defense, Montez Sweat, Jonathan Allen doing the job that needs to be done. The Commanders just released a video about Chase Young making a return. Not this game, of course, but going to be returning this season. And so I feel like momentum is kind of now on the Commander side. Now, the Vikings are 6-1.
Yes.
So I'm not going to say they're going to win this game. If they win.
And they have Dalvin Cook.
Oh, they got
they
a good
have,
team.
Jefferson.
Oh, my gosh.
You know.
Try. And our secondary is a question mark, right?
Yes.
Our secondary, maybe when you look at the defense, that's been the big question mark. You know, and can they keep up with a speedy wide receiver? But I feel like people feeling like Taylor Heinicke can move the ball better than Carson Wentz.
Do
the
you
offensive
think,
line
do
playing
you think
better
Wentz
as well.
Will when he recovers.
This is the question.
Do you think he will go back into this starting position? Because you mentioned this is a business. So also remember, right, Ron has to make sure, you know, look, we've invested, what's he making, 20-something?
He's making good money. And remember, Ron Rivera hasn't had a winning season yet right. since he's been here
and
in Washington.
And so he may feel like, I've got to prove I made the right choice in spending all this money on Carson Wentz.
Vermonte, that was a quote I had earlier on another radio show, because remember after that primetime game against the Bears, mm-hmm. we saw a passionate Ron Rivera say, I was the one to bring Carson Wentz
right.
here, because mm-hmm. there was a report mm-hmm. that he didn't want him
but
and
Snyder
that Daniel
did.
Snyder wanted him. Mm-hmm. And then he left the press conference, mm-hmm. and that's probably the most animated Ron Rivera I saw. So my question is, can you go back on your word if you said you wanted Carson Wentz here if he gets fully healthy, mm-hmm. or if Taylor Heineke keeps winning, do you make that switch? Now, to me, you leave the quarterback in that's winning. This was a question we had in Dallas when Cooper Rush was winning with Dak Prescott.
Mm-hmm.
But when Cooper Rush threw those three interceptions and Dak Prescott was back Vermonte that next game. I'm just being honest, folks. So let's remember that. So Taylor Heineke, I think, again, if he gives the team the best chance,
mm-hmm.
but Ron Rivera, again, I think it's going to be very hard for him. And if I'm Carson Wentz and my coach said that for me, I'm going to question if I'm not the starter again. And we also know for Carson Wentz, playing for the Commanders is a very big deal for him, because I've said this multiple times. I think this is a last stand for him to show that he is a starter in the National
right.
Football League. Mm-hmm. We saw what happened to Matt Ryan. He got benched for the rest of the season.
That's right.
Carson Wentz wants to still play football, so it's going to be a very hard decision for Ron.
And you know the Matt Ryan thing was a money thing, too.
But look, we're being honest,
back to
but
money.
A business.
Yeah.
It's a business.
And he wasn't producing, so you combine those
right.
two things. She is Kelsey Nelson of Fox Sports and host of Keep It Simple. Kelsey, you brought it in tonight. We thank you so much for all of your expertise, all of your knowledge. And if folks want to listen to you, hear you, how can they do so, Kelsey?
Thank you again so much. Always love talking sports, as you can probably tell, Vermonte. But my website is KelseyNicoleNelson.com. Check me out on social media, The Real K Nelson. And also you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Kelsey Nicole Nelson. Thanks again so much for having me.
Fellow Terrapin.
Yes, a fellow Terrapin.
And Feisky.
We're bowl eligible, Vermonte. Terrapin's doing
right.
something.
Yes, we are. That's the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, November 4th. Don't forget to move your clocks. You fall back this weekend. I believe it's on Sunday, right? So don't get thrown off.